This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Random Movie Generator with myself, David L, and
Dave Edwards. At the ready, sir. At the ready, 100%.
I feel like I have to tell everyone that I'm feeling
slightly under the weather. You've had a bit
under
of a flu period.
Yeah, I was gonna say run of the mill. I'm feeling run of the mill and under the weather.
Sir, I think you're an absolute cinematic trooper still to show up, to pop your head out your foxhole and still run up and dodge the enemy bullets and not just, you know, stay under your duvet. I respect that greatly.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a weekly podcast. I didn't want to let down the listeners. So here I am in my dressing gown.
Hugely appreciated. And it's a wonderful dressing gown. It's got a Roger Moore silk Japanese theme to it, which I'm loving.
Do you mind the belt coming undone?
Not at all. Let it just naturally flop open. It's not a problem at all.
How are you, David?
Not bad. I'm up for having some cinematic chat. If the energy is a bit low level, with your good self, I'm happy to meet you halfway with that. It's just two chaps chewing the filmic cob. And I'd stop doing film metaphors because just be normal, be yourself, Dave.
No, I like it. No, people being normal, be yourself is coming up with the metaphors, isn't it?
Very true. Don't outthink yourself. Don't overthink it.
So let's chew the sweet corn cob.
Absolutely.
Of cinema,
of Tinseltown. Definitely.
How has your cinema week been?
It hasn't been bad at all. So on Friday, I saw the new Emerald Fennell film. Emerald Fennell is a big British film director. She's a female British film director who's had quite an impressive career. She started off with gosh, I'm terrible, I know, with these. What a nightmare. It is
every
quite
week.
A disaster. I know, it's absolute disaster.
That's all right. This is what we like about you.
I'm looking at the absolute beginnings of her career. That's why I'm sort of slightly... oh, God, what a disaster. Well, I thought she was on... what's it called? It was those...
her up?
God, I might as well have. What a disaster. What she started on. Yes, there we go. I apologise. Okay, so let's begin. You know, she had a
We began 5 minutes ago.
Absolutely. And if you could have been ready, Edwards, 10 minutes ago, that would have been absolutely wonderful. Basically, she had a part in Call the Midwives, the very popular ITV show. Call the Midwife. There you go. Even though I've got it in front of me on a computer screen, still struggling. Very worrying.
I like Call the Midwives.
Called the Midwife, just one.
Yeah.
And she had
What's
a role
her name,
in that.
Sorry? Emerald.
Yeah. So absolutely. It's basically, her name is Emerald Fennell.
Yeah.
And then alongside that, she wrote a lot of novels in between seasons of Call the Midwife. Then after that, she got the role of,
Oh, I give up. I'm going back to
bed. Oh, this is a disaster. I really apologise.
I've got out of bed for this.
This is a complete disaster. What did I mean? Keep positive. Keep positive. And so she had a big acting career and she was writing novels in a part-time. Then she got the opportunity to do a film called Promising Young Woman.
Sorry, David, is she an actor or a director?
Well, that's the thing. She's a king of many filmic trades in the sense that she's a novelist, she's an actress, she's a writer, she's a director.
Hell. Wow.
See, that's the point I was trying to make, but unfortunately my memory is so scrambled. Like,
oh my God, she's done loads.
Yeah, she's done loads. It's fascinating. Now, Kerry Mulligan starred in Promising Young Women. If you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth watching. And it was the big, it got nominated for some Oscars and it did really well at the Sundance Film Festival. And she was pegged as being like the next female Tarantino.
So what's this film called that she's made?
So she made Promising Young Women with Kerry Mulligan. That was a big, big hit.
What's it got the one you watched on Friday?
And, the next one, this is the second one, and it's called Saltburn.
And oh, is that basically the guy from Banshees in it?
It is, yeah. Barry Keoghan, is that? How do you pronounce his name?
I'm going back to bed.
Oh, what a disaster. Dear God. Can I join you?
Is it Not Keoghan?
It is Keoghan. It is Keoghan, yeah, definitely. And it's basically set in Oxford University. He comes from a sort of upper working class, lower middle class family. And he's managed to get into Oxford University. And, you know, he wants to climb the ladder. But he's a very oddball character. And one of the very rich students puts him under his wing and befriends him. But finds the Barry Keane character quite kind of a bit of an oddball, but finds him entertaining from afar. And the Barry Keoghan character really embraces his new friend on the Oxford University campus, sees it as an opportunity to climb the ladder, and he takes him home, the Barry Keoghan character, to...
God, I hope he is called Keoghan, because we're certainly going for it.
Oh, my God, I know. The new friend takes him home to his large manor called Saltburn, and... basically, I don't want to go any further than that, but it's like, it's basically Talented Mr. Ripley-esque. He starts lying about his background to find himself more entertaining and interesting with this new upper-class elite group that he's got him with, and to try and make him more fascinating so he's not pushed out of this group. And he's seen the manor his new friend lives in, and it's absolutely enormous, and it's a very Talented Mr. Ripley-esque, almost like beat by beat. This guy who becomes obsessed with this other guy who's of a higher class, and like Talented Mr. Ripley, he wants to climb the ladder. And there was a lot of hype on this film because her last movie was a massive success.
What was her last film? Sorry?
Promising Young Women with Kerry Mulligan. And Kerry Mulligan is in this very briefly at the beginning, quite amusingly. There's some really good bits. So when you actually meet the rich guy's parents, played by Richard E. Grant and Rosemary Pike, they're very eccentric, highly rich, you know, can't connect with their emotions, and they are very, very amusing. It's really well executed performance with great lines. Also, the actual manor house itself is filmed brilliantly. But then I would say the second act of the... I'd say halfway through the film, yeah, in the second act, it reveals... there's revelations that you usually get in the third act. And there's twists that you usually get in the third act. And that's great for a script, because at that point, it's like, well, I don't know where this is going now. You've almost fired the final bullets. Well, so
surely
what are you taking
this is right up your strass, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I was like, oh, right, okay, this is very early. You know, for that character to be exposed or that to happen to that character. I even looked at my watch in the cinema, you know, where are we going with this? And, but it just... the twists in front of you are so cliched, it's unbelievable.
Whoa, wow. David, you looked very disappointed with the cliché twists.
The thing is, it's not just disappointed, it's confused, whereby I feel it was not... Because I think sometimes I'll put my hand up and say, okay, it's not my taste, but I know there's people out for it, up for this stuff. But it was more objective. It was just like, well, this is literally just the beat-by-beat expectation of something like Talented Mr. Ripley. It doesn't do anything new. I think the problem lies that Amazon financed this. And Amazon and Apple are so hungry to be as equally respected as a big studio that they basically throw blank checks at these new up-and-coming directors or classic directors like Martin Scorsese. And the scripts do not go through the same amount of drafts. They almost just say, if you come with us, we'll give you a large slice of money and pure creative freedom because we want your name next to our, you know, streamer brand. Because that script, you know, it just didn't do anything new. After, I'd say the first hour is good. You get introduced to the characters, is interestingly shot. Kerry Mulligan turns up as an interesting character who's visiting Saltburn for a slice of the film. But then when it's less about the characters and it's right, now we need to go into plot twist thriller mode, and she does a lot of revelations very early, you think to yourself, okay, this is going to be interesting. But it just...
You are being brutal this week.
I would just say, I think most people, that second half of the film, it just ticks off just such an... It's like a fire and safety drill. You need to do this, and this. Do you know what I mean? It's as simple as that. It's just like there was nothing. I don't quite understand. All you can think is the producers were just like, yeah, we just want your name next to Amazon, so just come aboard. And also, I felt the last scene, which obviously I'm not going to say what it is, was just trying too hard. It was trying too hard to do something just a bit out there, a bit quirky. And it's real, I would say, as they say it with bands, don't they? They call it the difficult second album. I would definitely say that 100%. I think she was just given too much auteur privilege. And I could be wrong, do you know what I mean?
Well, your difficult second album is explaining what you ate whilst you watched it.
100%. I think if I sat down and said what I ate... even now, I don't know if it was a crumpet or a muffin. I couldn't 100% tell you. It was one of those circular...
Oh, you didn't watch it in the
cinema? Oh, no, I thought you meant what I ate now, as in just before the podcast.
Oh, no. No, sorry. What you ate in the watching it.
What I ate whilst watching it was I had another round of Belgian dark chocolate waffles, even though they made me quite sick a fortnight ago. I still slipped under the duvet with them, knowing that they absolutely ruined me last time.
Beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And Ryan, went with Ryan?
Absolutely. My compadre sat next to me.
But was it busy in there?
Yes, it was. It was quite a mixture. For some reason, there was a lot of elderly people there, and they were very confused by it. When I was in
what
the toilets...
What do elderly people eat in the cinema? What do they eat?
They're usually very quiet, although they do like the odd boiled sweet that you hear knocking against their dentures every now and then during quiet dialogue scenes. But it's usually your...
No, you don't, do you?
Oh, I do, definitely.
What, clack, clack, clack.
Click, click, clack, clack. They do like a boiled sweet or a Fox classic every now and then.
Fox is classier.
Fox is classier. It's not called a Fox classic. Is that a biscuit?
I don't know.
Dear me.
What is a Fox classic?
That's your classic travel suite from the 80s, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
The animated Fox.
Oh, it says here, Fox's classic selection of biscuits.
Oh, right. That's absolutely bizarre. I don't mean that. I mean the boiled sweets. Do see if there's a Fox boiled sweet travel suite, because if not, I've just completely...
Travel suite.
Fox, yeah, Fox.
Fox travel... Yeah, the original travel suite. Oh, no, Simpkins, butterscotch travel sweets. Oh, Glacier Fruits, Fox's Glacier Fruits.
Thank God they do exist. I haven't just suddenly forced those out into my own reality. That'd be very worrying.
Right, so anything happened at the cinema while you were there worth mentioning?
Anything happened in the cinema that was worth mentioning...
No.
I had a nice chat with one of the ushers.
Did you?
Going into the actual cinema. Yeah, absolutely, about both of us. I just thought it was good staff on this week. You know, very much good eye contact. I had to wait.
Do you recognise the same ones from last week?
No, bizarrely. I just think, God, this is a large crew, because I don't recognise many of them. But this chap was very much a bit of banter at the door type of thing. He's also looking forward to Napoleon. And had a chat about the weather. I thought that went quite well.
What sort of banter do you have with him?
Not too heavy. Nice balance. Jamie, it's simple as that. You know, not too much sugar, not too much milk. The perfect cup of tea. Absolutely. I've only bantered to him once, because as I say, they all seem to be different each week.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to banter with a 17-year-old.
I wasn't 17. He was like 27, 28, so a bit more mature.
Yeah. Okay, well, everybody, I'm going to have a guess at how many choc ices David's going to give Saltburn. Was Barry Keoghan good in it? I hope that's his name.
Barry Keoghan was extremely good. The cast in no way was poor. The other thing that wasn't great is that his character is completely insane. There's no, he's like talented Mr. Ripley. Yes, Matt Damon is psychotic, but at least there's some, you know, you do at points feel sorry for him. There's one scene in this film, I won't tell you what it is, but it's completely demented. Completely demented. And it's a one shot, one take, happens near a grave. And I was sat there, and there was an OAP in the background who actually made a "ooh" sound. It was that kind of... I just thought, after that, I mean, like, you know, all the script writers always say you need a kill the cat, save the cat moment. Not kill the cat, save the cat moment, where you like the character. There's something relatable. Because he's not Blofeld. He's not a villain that pops in and out of it. You're with him the whole time. So there's got to be something there. But after this scene, you were like, no, you are completely nuts, with a Z at the end.
Nuts? Why with a Z at the end?
Because it's a bit gangster. It's a bit dark. It's a bit ruthless.
Okay, so I've had a guess how many choc ices out of five you're going to give Saltburn. So whilst you're listening, everyone, if you can have a little guess how many choc ices David's going to give it. So, David, over to you. How many choc ices out of five are you going to give the new movie or film Saltburn?
At 2.5.
Mama!
There you go, Captain.
Yo!
I enjoyed the first half, but the second half was just a confused, formulaic... Wasn't a mess. It was just what it was. Do you know what I mean?
I'm so chuffed I got that.
Absolutely. Keep that tattooed on your hand.
I feel like you really enjoyed that movie, and then that last half hour really pissed you off.
Last hour, more like.
Last hour?
Yeah,
oh.
I'd say. Right. It was more like... I was more confused than anything. I was just like, well, yeah, that is what you'd expect from one of these talented Mr. Ripley-esque obsessed movies. Like Cable Guy. It's like a subgenre in itself. And it ticks off every box. It's basically like she didn't bother finishing the second half. She just got a ChatGPT to do it for her. You know, it's just like an AI algorithm just slotted in and completed the second half because it was just so formulaic.
Well, David, thank you so much for this week's new movie review.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
David Edwards, movie
So, David, got any movie news this week?
Well, one big piece of movie news that's very significant is that Pedro Pascal, you know, from The Last of Us, Mandalorian, there's talk that he's potentially going to be Mr. Fantastic in a new Fantastic franchise, because basically Marvel are having to rejig all their films, because the Marvels, the big Marvel film that came out last week, really did bomb at the box office. And they're now saying that these comic book movies have potentially, you know, have met their absolute limit.
So that'll be the end of them.
Well, I mean, they're hoping not so, because they put Disney put loads of money into it.
Okay, David, here's a question. Here's a question. If these superhero movies have died or can't reach their end, what direction will cinema take?
Definitely, it goes without saying, I think the replacement, and it's not me being clever, it's just look at the box office, is video game adaptations. So Five Nights at Freddy's was incredible. Even though like Five Nights at Freddy's and Mario got very lukewarm reviews, Mario got no more than, I don't think anyone gave Mario 4. They've gone on to gross an enormous amount of money. Five Nights at Freddy's, that's Jason Blum's highest grosser so far. And Jason Blum's made loads of films, Insidious, Purge, Paranormal Activity. So for that to come out on top for him is incredible. And Mario obviously grossed over $1 billion. So, and they've got the Zelda film coming out. You're going to have a lot more video game adaptations.
Okay.
Because those kids who have grown up playing them, they're now of an older age. There's a bigger generation. Video games aren't just seen as toys. They're beginning to be seen as more of an art form. And I think, you know, and also Last of Us, that's TV, but that was a massive hit for HBO. I think that synergy with video games and film and TV will definitely dominate in a big, big way. But Marvel are panicking to the extent that one of the big Avengers team-ups is going to be Secret Wars, and that plays around with parallel universes a lot. And there's already talk that they're going to try and get Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans back for that. And a lot of people say that's almost just admitting defeat, that you're just going to try and get back the original cast of those early Avenger films when it was so popular.
Were you into video games?
Yes and no. Yeah, growing up, I was. Yeah, I don't even know why I questioned that, really.
What age did you sort of fall out of love?
I don't think I did, really. I think because I go in and out of it. Like Last of Us, I got really into that.
But do you play video games?
Oh, yeah, God, yeah. I stream video games. I've got PlayStation on my PC. You can stream PlayStation. Yeah, gosh, so Last of Us, Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead Redemption. Oh, yeah, God, yeah, I'll definitely. But I go in and out of it. It depends, but I'll definitely. And I was into it as a kid, Game Boy, SNES, the
Cube. Have you played any recently?
What have I played recently? Spider-Man 2 on the PS5.
You've got a PS5?
I haven't got a PS5, but a friend has, and I played that a lot. And a lot of virtual reality games I played as well.
If you had to come up with a video game set in a biscuit world, what would it be called, and what would the biscuit be?
Would it be a biscuit I'd literally create myself, or one that already exists?
Up to you.
It would be called Biscero, and the idea is you enter into a world through a parallel door into Biscero, and it's a world whereby everything is made out of, I was about to say everything's made out of biscuits, that's ridiculous, that's really lazy. The economy is a biscuits. People trade biscuits instead of money.
You're simple taking as that. This really seriously.
Well, I just heard myself just eat biscuits, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? It's basically instead
you trade
of
trade biscuits.
Absolutely, a jammy donut would be like a 50p.
What's a 50-quid note?
A 50-quid note would be a
mint imperial.
That's incredible. You're just saying that. That's literally what I was about to say. You would take it out of the little kind of paper wallet and hand it over to the cabbie and say, "There you go. Have 50 quid. That's for you and your wife."
Except you just eat it.
Yeah, that'd be the fear, wouldn't it? That you would
what would
start
be a one
peckish.
Penny? One penny biscuit.
A one penny penny biscuit would be your old ginger snap. Your ginger. It's not a ginger snap, isn't it? Ginger. I can't remember now. But what is it? Just a ginger. What is it? What was that one? Can't remember my biscuit. I tell you, it's Sunday afternoon.
I'm just liking. What about a 20p?
20p would be a chocolate digestive. 10p would just be a digestive. 1p would just be a digestive, wouldn't it?
Yeah, or rich
1p
tea.
1p would be a digestive. Yeah, rich tea. 10p would be a digestive with like currants in it you can get.
David, and if then, I said to you, lend us a tenner, what would you give me?
Hobnob. Classic. There you go. I have one of those. I bring out my wallet and suddenly I'd look at it and realise it's just full of crumbs because I'd sat on it. And I just think, well, that's 10 quid down the drain. Garibaldi would be...
Checkbook?
I don't think there's enough... Yeah, perhaps. Not much. I don't think there's any room for it, really. I think the economy's kind of...
I haven't had a Garibaldi for ages.
A Garibaldi would be like a £1 coin, wouldn't it?
Really?
I think so, yeah. I do hold it in some high stead.
For me, it's a chocolate hobnob, £1 coin.
Oh, no, a chocolate hobnob for me would be a fiver, at least. You're going to notes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Biscero, created by...
Absolutely. This is how they work in Hollywood. Oh, you know, you've got to create the world.
This is Biscero, created by David Edwards. New on the PS6. Oh, okay. So that's the news then. I don't know why I'm not as... I'm more excited by video game movies than the superhero ones. I've got no attachment to the superhero world.
I think a Zelda one might be interesting. That's got potential. Definitely.
What was the Tomb Raider like?
I haven't seen the most recent one. There's been loads, isn't it? Angelina Jolie was in, I think, two of them. Then right. They rebooted it again. But also Amazon are doing a TV series of it. Gods of War, that's got a big Amazon show coming up. And they're good, those stories. Looking at mythology, Greek mythology.
Would they bother with Red Dead? Would they bother with Red Dead?
I've never heard of it. And I've never heard of Rockstar doing anything with Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto 6 is obviously coming out very soon, isn't it? The trailer for that premieres in December, apparently. But I'm amazed they've never done a GTA. Maybe because it's already based on gangster films. But I'd have thought that's got real potential, I'd have thought, for some kind of spin-off.
Well, David, thank you so much for this week's movie news.
Thank you, Captain. Thank you.
David Edwards, Random Movie Review.
So, it's this week's Random Movie Review.
Hello.
I can't... Oh,
hello.
Mandy.
Hello. Hello.
You all right?
Yes, thank you.
What are you eating?
A toffee.
What is she eating?
Toffee.
Oh, like a toffee chew.
Yeah, toffee chew. Would you like
nice.
Some?
Nice for her.
Oh,
you
thank you.
Some?
Yeah. Oh, here really? How many you got left?
Oh, three.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's all right. Nice, aren't they?
Toffee chew. Very... Goodness me, I wonder what a toffee chew would be in Biscero money. Oh, is there one for me? I'm quite peckish.
Yeah.
Yes, okay, that'll be fine. That'll be fine, yeah.
Toffee chew and a 7:30 meeting. Very, what are you doing 7:30? More toffee chews?
Oh, here we go.
Well, her and her fiancé are coming round.
I thought the Hoover was gone. The Hoover dropped
her. No, he hasn't gone.
No.
They're back. God, how cliché. Talking about cliché films. Got clichéd relationships
now,
haven't we?
You rude man.
You are really poisonous.
Well, I know when people are just trying to poke me, giving out...
We're not trying to poke you.
No.
I asked them round if they wanted... You have a toffee chew. No, that's... I know that's toxic. That's what the Americans call toxic.
I'm his best man.
What?
Yeah.
Are they married now? I can't...
They're getting married.
Right, okay. I thought they'd gone on their honeymoon at one point. I've lost the prop, Fred, now, this one. But whatever happens, it's
you
a toxic relationship.
You don't listen anyway.
She just said you don't listen anyway.
You never do.
Because I know a lot of it's designed just to give me brain damage, babe. Simple as that.
What?
I know what it's there for.
Don't
it's not
call
for
me babe.
Behavior. It's for me, really. Deep
said,
down.
Don't call me babe.
Sucker.
Well, I won't do that. That's the last time I call you babe. Babe. There you have that. That's a right hook you expect.
You horribly poisonous man.
Okay, this week's random movie review, chosen, well, not chosen by Mandy, but it appeared in her belly. You chose it, blindfolded. What was it?
Vertigo, directed by Alfred Hitchcock, starring Jimmy Stewart.
Oh. Ready, Captain. Okay. Explain a montage.
Yeah, so Alfred Hitchcock's Vertigo... Let's have a look. Yeah, basically, it's about a former San Francisco police detective who juggles wrestling with his personal demons and becoming obsessed with the hauntingly beautiful woman he's been hired to trail, who may be deeply disturbed. So basically, you see him at the beginning of the film chasing after criminals on rooftops, where he has an accident. And but during that accident, he also develops a vertigo, the fear. And then he's taken off as a police officer, but then he's given a job, a private job, to follow this mega rich businessman's wife, not woman, dear God, wife. And because he's paranoid, she's having a breakdown slash having an affair. And as Jimmy Stewart follows her, he becomes somewhat enchanted by her and slightly obsessed, to say the least. I won't go any further than that because there's lots of twists, particularly a midpoint twist, which is quite a classic twist. But it's well-performed, really well-filmed. They filmed it using VistaVision, which back then was almost like the IMAX of the 50s. So very wide panoramic shot, very rich colours. It's filmed around San Francisco. It was made in 58. And it was definitely a sort of a blank check Hitchcock moment where they just gave him what he wanted, basically.
What was the film prior to this?
I don't know. You've caught me off. Here we go. Let's have a look. I think he'd done Birds and Psycho by then. I'm pretty sure he'd done a lot of the classic. Sorry, pal. I'm going to have a look. Sorry, buddy. Sorry, is this annoying me?
No, your internet's gone terrible.
You there? Oh, has it really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. What a nightmare. Oh, for fuck's sake. It's okay now? Is it okay now? Or not?
I was just sort of hoping it was going to clear itself up, but...
Oh, God. Oh, for fuck's sake, has it really messed up again? We'll have to stop there and I have to get back. Fucking hell, it's so annoying, isn't it? Sorry, mate, I apologise.
Yeah. So, when what was the film made prior to Vertigo?
You might have to have a look, not me, because I don't have my mouse connected. I do apologise. I do know that the film after this was Psycho. So, 58, you did Vertigo. This didn't do well in the cinema, Vertigo. People found it too low. Long. And... Psycho came out in 1960, and Psycho was a lot more shorter. It was cutting edge, but also it held
no,
more of
David,
a punch.
The next film was North by Northwest.
Then was it Psycho after that?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And the film prior to it was The Wrong Man.
Right, okay, there you go. Jimmy Stewart film as well. But with Vertigo, it was definitely him going into auteur territory and being a bit more creative and experimental with his style. It's a lot longer. Jimmy Stewart plays a far darker character as he becomes obsessed with the female. But sorry, I should have worked that out where it was in his pantheon of work. I do apologise.
Let's have a little listen to a clip from Vertigo.
Absolutely.
The small scenes, the fragments of the mirror, you remember those?
Vaguely.
What do you remember?
There's a room. And I sit there alone. Always alone.
What else?
Grave.
Where?
I don't know. It's an open grave and I stand by the gravestone looking down into it. It's my grave.
But how do you know?
I know.
But is there a name on the gravestone?
No. No, it's new and clean and waiting.
What else?
It's part of his dream, I think. There's a tower and a bell in the garden below. It seems to be in Spain. Village in Spain. It's off and it's gone.
Portrait. Do you see a portrait?
No.
If I could just find the key, the beginning, and put it together.
So explain it away. There is a way to explain it, you see. If I'm mad, then that would explain it, wouldn't it?
Madeline!
I'm not mad. I don't want to die. There's someone within me, and she says I must die. Oh, Scotty, don't let me go.
I'm here. I've got you.
I'm so afraid.
David, were you excited about sitting down and watching it? And did you eat anything that would sort of ruffle our feathers?
Do you know what? I never really eat any food whilst watching on the laptop. I'm more into my beverages, so it'll be hot chocolates or a cup of tea. Simple as that.
Oh my God, if I can just jump in here, because I've just remembered. Did you have your gin night watching The Killer?
Yes, we did.
Did you tell him that you watched The Killer?
No, I didn't. Simple as that. So, you know, those who don't know about this, it's a case of...
Very quickly, as a diversion, did you enjoy The Killer the second time round?
Yes, I did. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Okay. Maybe we'll save that for Patreon, that little... I'd like to just get to know how that went, the old gin.
I don't have much happened, really. We sort of sat there, watched it at a gin, and went to our separate rooms. Shook hands in the hallway.
Well, we'll see. I always imagine, like, you put some music on afterwards and just...
yeah. Flintstones, boxer shorts type of thing. Fred and Barney.
So, did you...
Fred and Barney on each side of the pants. Just a...
Did you... I think I had Fred and Barney jeans.
I had Fred and Barney jeans, absolutely. They were really popular, bizarrely. I had a pair of Fred and Barney jeans.
I think I did. Did you enjoy Vertigo?
Absolutely. Let's focus on what we're doing. Vertigo, basically, it's a film that didn't do very well in the cinema in the 50s, but now it's very much hailed as a classic. So there was a documentary that came out recently, Truffaut, about Truffaut, the director, French director, interviewing Hitchcock. And it's a really well-known book where Hitchcock really goes into his style of filmmaking, interviewed by Truffaut. And there was a documentary about it recently, and all the big film directors came on to say how it was a book that inspired them, Wes Anderson, Scorsese, David Fincher. And they all reference Vertigo. Les Bird, Psycho, North by Northwest. And it's like the Sight and Sound, I think, called it the number two film ever a few years ago. So it was very interesting.
Why did it not grab me when I watched it, when I love his other movies?
Well, there's a lot of merit there, but it's quite slow in pace. I would say, like, Psycho has got such a quick delivery. You know, it's like an hour and a half, bang. I saw Psycho again recently, and it felt like it was edited and paced like a Netflix movie. You know, it didn't hang around. It's really straight to it. And it's interesting that Psycho came out after Vertigo, because in many ways, Psycho's still experimental, the idea of the main character dying so early on. It's got loads of, you know, interesting points, but I think you could tell that the audience needs to be occupied and engaged consistently. Because Vertigo, I mean, the cinematography is amazing. Jimmy Stewart perhaps acts against type, so I think the audience back then found that a bit alienating, but for me, I found it interesting. And also, the cinematography is amazing, like the dolly zoom. That's where that was perfected, that was later used in Jaws, obviously, when Brody's on the beach. But basically, Hitchcock came up with that as an idea.
Do you want to explain that? Explain what that is for people.
Absolutely. When the background zooms in and out and it almost becomes distorted, so you're tracking in but zooming out, or vice versa, and it creates that hyper real effect, usually when a character's having a realization, or in this, when Jimmy Stewart is actually suffering with vertigo during the classic church scenes, or the opening scene when he's being chased on the roofs. And that opening of Vertigo, I've never realized that, is shot by shot using The Matrix. Do you remember when Carrie Ann Moss is chased over the roofs by the agents? It's exactly filmed with the same tracking shot of Vertigo. I've watched so many films since Matrix, like Ghost in the Shell and Vertigo. It's just like, well, that literally is The Matrix. I mean, it's only what Tarantino does. It's postmodern filmmaking, isn't it? You're referencing other texts. But blimey, it's like the opening to The Matrix is like Vertigo chase scene, and then an agent leaps in the air and lands on his knee, and it's exactly like Ghost in the Shell. It's quite a interesting element of different filmmaking styles. But definitely the music is also absolutely amazing.
Can you sing it?
I can't sing it, but it's kind of like a ghostly kind of vibe in the background.
Can we hear, like,
I wish I could remember it to actually just improvise it after. Almost like mermaids singing across the San Francisco Sea. Absolutely whistling through their teeth. Sort of Enya, but after marijuana. Enya after having a marijuana, so it's like chilled Enya.
Maruenya,
which is an amazing concoction you can get in a drug lab.
If you and I were in a boat heading towards some rocks and there were some sirens, but they look like Hollywood beauties, who would they be calling you in?
What movie stars would they be?
Yeah.
Definitely Marilyn Monroe, fresh from the barbers.
Fresh from the barbers.
So that bop, that blonde bop, is almost like a lighthouse.
Really? Any Hollywood actresses from recent times?
Perhaps next to Reese Witherspoon. So you got two. Why not three blondes on a bloody rock? I know it's a bit sexist. Three blondes on a bloody rock, and that peroxide blondness is like a lighthouse guiding me away from the waves.
So Marilyn Monroe,
Reese Witherspoon,
and Pamela Anderson.
I think I'll go Charlie Theron. I'm going to be controversial.
Fair enough.
And like the femme fatales, they are unknowingly, they're guiding me into the rocks.
David, did you like Vertigo?
I would say...
Don't tell us, actually. Let's guess, and then we'll talk about it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going to guess how many Choc Ices out of
one thing. I'll also say, the opening credit sequences are really impressed by Saul Bass. You can tell how a lot of Hitchcock films inspire Bond. Those, like, right, sexy openings with lots of, like, meta-symbology. It's like the opening of a Bond film. By Saul Bass.
I haven't said the word symbology since A-level English.
Goodness, mate, we should use it every now and then. I do with parking ticket attendants and people behind shopping. You know, I don't know where I'm going with that, but I do it day to day. It's a good one to get out of your back pocket.
Right, I've had a guess how many Choc Ices out of five you're going to give Vertigo. So, David, how many Choc Ices out of five are you going to give Vertigo?
I would give it 4 out of 5. Everything's there, just slow pacing. Yeah, 3.5. You are just...
I gave it 3.5. Okay, 4. I was going to go 4.
That's just a slice of chocolate off the old Choc Ice, I think. Simple as that. It's all there.
Did you enjoy it? You enjoyed it?
I did enjoy it in places. It just felt overly long.
Why did you give it 4 then?
Because when it's good, it's really good. I think I was really invested at the beginning. The ending was really good. It left me on a high. Good twist at the end. But the middle bit, definitely, I was kind of like, this is going very slow. Where are we going with this? But I think on the whole, definitely, there's a hell of a lot of merit there. And when I was engaged, I was fully like, oh, this is a classic. I can see how this has inspired other films. Mm-hmm. So you can tell that, you know, there's some really strong elements. And Jimmy Stewart's character is very three-dimensional.
I love him.
Oh, he's absolutely Super. And
I thought it's Cary Grant in it.
No. That's North by Northwest. So that's the other thing with the Bond thing. You can also say that North by Northwest was a big influence upon the James Bond films. You look back on these Hitchcock films and you can see how it's influenced so many movies, even like sci-fi with Matrix, Bond movies.
Mm.
Endless.
Oh, well, thank you very much, David, for this week's random movie review.
Not a problem, sir. Not a problem at all.
David Edwards, movie tips.
David, got any movie tips?
I certainly have. Just to make sure, I have not spoken about Project Greenlight, have I? Project Greenlight, I'm just making sure I haven't referenced that before, but it's an important one to be aware of. Project Greenlight is a TV show that was first started by Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. And it has been reintroduced again by HBO. And it gives filmmakers an opportunity. You win a competition, you give in an idea for a short film, and then they give you the opportunity to actually turn it into a feature film and distribute it in cinemas. And it's come back. It's the fourth season now. There was a massive gap in between, and they're focusing on female directors for this one. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck aren't involved with this particular one. And but they did the original three, which you can find on YouTube. And if you're a fan of filmmaking, it's utterly fascinating. They go through the whole process in detail. But HBO put one episode on YouTube. I don't know if it's still on there now, but it will come out on Sky very, very soon.
Right. So what are we watching in the show?
Exactly. So basically, you get a group of five female directors all around. Basically, the world can enter the competition. You can download a script and you film one scene from the script. They then
whose script is it?
I don't know. It's no one famous. It's a production company script in Hollywood.
Okay,
so it's a proper production company in Hollywood, and also HBO backed as well. And the script is given out to the world, and then somehow they go through all these videos and they select five female directors, who are then given another script to film and then pitch. So you get a scene that they filmed and then they pitch the entire film. And then they decide upon which female director they're going to go with to actually direct the movie and turn the scene from the scene that they've been given to film into an entire feature film. So you see the whole pre-production, you see the production, post-production, and all the dramas on set. So, I mean, one drama that was really big on this particular one was that the HBO documentary team who were doing the reality TV show were dominating the film more than the actual crew. So they were asking for, like, reshots that weren't even connected to the making of the film just to help the reality TV show. So it's very transparent. And also you just get a real insight into production budget, how to work with a cinematographer, how important the editor is. And there's two occasions where she finds it so intense, so much pressure. She's like, you know, isn't sleeping at all because of the work days, that she just drives off and the credits come up on the screen and says she's just gone AWOL again, type of thing. So it is very, very intense. And also you get the idea of how everyone's nice to your face, but then there's like political changes in the background. Nothing too toxic. It's a reality show, but you do think to yourself, you were a lot more positive in the meeting with the filmmaker, but now in the background, you've demanded changes off camera.
If you were going to sort of apply for the next Project Greenlight and it was female directors again, so you had to wear a wig, like a blonde curly wig, who would you be called?
Oh, I think I've always said that I always have that kind of female persona in my head, which is Diana Edwards, and it really would be the short blonde bob and that kind of
can I be working Matt Damon working for Project Greenlight, and you come in, so we've picked you and we have to interview you for the
100%. Yeah, okay. Definitely, I've done it in my head already.
Okay, can we bring Diane in, please?
Thank you so much for having me and inviting me along. So appreciative.
Please sit down.
Thank you. It's nice to see gentlemen still exist.
What do you mean?
Well, these days in Tinseltown, the men have got better, but it was very much a rule, the movie Roose with the iron male fist.
Oh, have you been out in Hollywood for a while then?
I used to holiday here with my family.
And where are you from originally?
The UK, Britain, to be exact, London, in the centre of things.
Well, we were really impressed by your video, and wow, your high heels are high.
Yes, well, I do like a good stiletto.
Well, so I think Diane Edwards is a fucking nightmare.
But she would she'd get the job done. She would get the job done. You would have to go home with her, but on the
why don't we try and get you in there as Diane Edwards?
Well, let's do it. Let's try and do it, for crying out loud. Get me in a jumpsuit, get that blonde rinse going, and let's...
She wears a jumpsuit?
Oh, absolutely, with, as you rightly say, a pair of stilettos. Vital.
You know, you're going to turn some heads.
God, well, that's the idea. That is the idea.
Is it?
Well, absolutely. If you're in the middle of Tinseltown, Hollywood, you want to be the belle of the
ball.
But
what if you pull someone? What if you pull Jack Nicholson?
Well, this is true. I didn't think that far.
Imagine if you pulled Jack Nicholson and you started going out with him.
Dear God, I know at some point he'd want to eat the entire meal, though, wouldn't he? That's when it'd be problematic. It'd be very much like, what's the Dustin Hoffman film, Tootsie, the 18 certificate?
Eat the entire meal.
Please.
Well, David, that sounds great, Project Greenlight.
No, it's definitely worth checking out.
Please. Thank you so much for this week's Movie Tippies.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your time.
David Edwards, Random Movie Generator.
Right now, it's the random movie generator. Here we are. Here we go. Mandy is purring in the background. Let's see. I feel like we've got you some pretty good films.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Massively.
Haven't been any turkeys, have there, really?
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay, so let us choose the genre of the first movie.
Stop.
Adventure.
Wonderful. You can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong.
And now, the decade.
Stop.
2010s. Please, Mandy, generate 4 adventure movies from the 2010s. Ah, she has done. Interestanto. Okay, so they're spinning around in her belly. Now it's time for you, David, to tell her when to stop spinning those movies.
Stop.
Hunt for the Wilder People.
Oh, I'd be very interested in that one. Definitely.
Ooh, Hunt for the Wilder People. I watched it recently.
I'd like to definitely watch that.
Okay, that's the first movie. Let us now choose the genre of the second movie.
Stop.
History.
Ooh, can't go wrong there.
And the decade of the second movie.
Stop.
2000s.
Nice.
Mandy, please generate 4 historical movies from the 2000s, please. She has done. And now it's time for you to tell her when to stop spinning those movies in her orange belly.
Stop.
Battle for Haditha.
Blimey, what's that one?
Battle for Haditha.
Never heard of that in my life. Maybe I need to. Maybe that's what's missing in my life.
Investigation of the massacre of 24 men, women and children in Haditha, Iraq, allegedly shot by 4 US Marines.
Gosh, okay.
Wow. Okay. Interesting movies so far.
Very. Never heard of that one, but it sounds cutting edge.
Let's choose the genre of the third movie.
Stop.
Thriller.
Ooh, can't go wrong with that. I do like that as a...
Now the decade.
Stop.
2010s.
Keeping it modern, keeping it contemporary.
You've been very lucky, haven't you?
It has to be said. But although sometimes the historic ones are better, aren't they? It stretches yourself a bit more.
So Mandy has generated four thrilling movies from the 2000s. They're rolling around in her orange belly, and now it's time for you to tell her when to stop spinning.
Stop.
We Die Young.
Well, that rings a bell. Who's in that one? Can you see on the
post? We Die Young. I think it's Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Right, a thriller. Might be wrong.
Lucas, a 14-year-old boy inducted into the gang life in Washington, is determined that his 10-year-old brother won't follow the same path.
And it's Jean-Claude Van Damme. All right, interesting.
I think it looks like him. It might not be him.
Interesting.
We Die Young. It is him. It is him. Okay, so it's Hunt for the Wilder People, it's Battle for Haditha, or it's We Die Young. I've given them an A, a B, and a C. I've jumbled them up. Or have I? Yes, I have. Or have I? Yes, I have. Or have I?
Indeed.
Now it's over. Now it's over to you, David, to choose which movie you are going to be reviewing next week. Is it going to be A, B, or C?
B.
We Die Young.
There we go. Okay, you never know. A bit of Jean-Claude Van Damme. Do you know, you never know. Let's give it a go. 2010.
You're happy with that, aren't you?
Not really. I'm just putting on a smiling face. The wilderness people.
I think. I mean, I've got no idea. I think it's going to be absolute shit.
Dear, we will find out, Captain. There's only way is to put the eyeballs on the silver screen and see what it musters up for you.
Right. I shouldn't be doing this. This is not fair. But there's, you know, on IMDb they have the little video clip of the film.
Yes.
And it's just playing, and you're like, I was like, oh my God. But it might be all right. Do you know what? It'll be fun. I'm sure Jean-Claude Van Damme will do some punches.
He'll come up with the goods in some vein, fingers crossed.
Oh, well, We Die Young, David.
You've got to embrace it. Let's see where Jean-Claude's gone with his career. It's a thriller, so it might be a bit more than just an action fair type of thing. Fingers crossed.
Well, are you ready to answer some patron quizzes?
Yeah, let's go for it. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening this week. Please like and subscribe. Please share and tell. But, well, it's up to you. It's your life.
Oh, please, people. We beg. I'm on all fours like a cat.
Yeah, please.
And utterly beg, definitely.
Because the more people that listen to this, the more chance David has leaving his job, and suddenly that's his job. He's a professional movie reviewer.
God, not that I want to leave my job. I'm quite happy with it. It's got to be said. Don't want to burn those bridges.
What if they became incredibly successful?
Good, I'd take them all with me. Simple as that. In a large coach. Well,
thank you very much, everybody, for this week's... thanks for listening, basically.
No, thank you so much. Any subscription would be massively, massively appreciated.
Yeah. Cheers, everyone.
Thank you for your time.